はい、今日はローマ12章をやりますけど、まず英語で話します。そして途中で分けて日本語に訳します。 OK, so let's begin Romans chapter 12. Today we're going to read down to verse 8, starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Actually, I'll just continue a little bit. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Okay, so we'll stop there at verse 16. Okay, so, as we talked about last time, we've come to the turning point of the book of Romans. So, up until chapter 11, it was all basically theology. From this point, it's mostly application. It includes, of course, theology, but it's more how do we then live on the basis of all of these things that we've learned. Paul has talked about sin, he's talked about salvation, he's talked about faith, he's talked about works, he's talked about the law, he's talked about choosing us and our choosing him, he's talked about Israel and the nations, and now it comes down to how then do we apply this to our life. And the key scripture from the very beginning of this section is, therefore, I beseech you, I urge you. He's not commanding us, he's not forcing us, he's urging us. And God doesn't force us to do anything. He appeals to us and he reasons with us, but he's urging us by the mercies of God, by God's grace, by the opportunity that we have now to present our bodies as a living sacrifice which is holy and which is acceptable to God, which is our perfectly reasonable service. And last time we talked about the way to do that. The first point was, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be become like the world. As long as we are worried about being like the world, we're not going to be that sacrifice that God wants us to be. And so, that was last week's message. Today, I'd like to talk mostly about chapter 3 and onward. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has given to each one a measure of faith. Okay, so, where are we? Here we are. All right, so Paul begins with this second point here. How do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice which is holy and acceptable to God? How do we do our part in this salvation? Well, we are to bring ourselves to God, and we are to give ourselves totally to Him. We are to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. And there's a big difference between both. A dead sacrifice doesn't do anything, it just dies. God wants us to be a living sacrifice, and that means continually thinking about how we should serve Him, continually thinking about what is His will, continually bringing ourselves before Him and finding out what that will is and how that we can apply that to our lives. The first thing that would stop us, of course, is if we try to be like the world. But the second thing that would stop that happening, that Paul talks about now, is pride. Don't think of yourself as more highly than you ought to think, because God has given to everyone a measure of grace. These are the two things that will stop us being that holy, living sacrifice. We try to be like the world, and we think of ourselves as too great. So, why is that? Well, if we think of ourselves as great, we will think about what we deserve. And that will undoubtedly stop us from participating in God's will for our life. As long as we think about what we deserve, we'll never choose the lowest place. We'll think, you know, I've done better than these guys, I've done better than him over there, I deserve more honor than that person. We'll never choose the lowest place if we think of ourselves highly. Or at least we can say more highly than we ought to think. How highly of ourselves should we think of ourselves? Again, this really comes down to what Paul's been teaching us about from the beginning of Romans. We think of ourselves as seated in the heavenly places in Christ. So that's a very high position to be in. We are complete in Him. We are perfect in Him. We are totally clean in Him. We are the sons of God. We are beloved of God. So that's a very high calling. But of course here he's talking about our place within the world that we're living in now. We shouldn't think of ourselves highly based on our own personal goodness. We're talking about, we think of ourselves highly in Christ, but not in terms of compared to other people. I remember when I first read about, when I first read through the Bible as a young Christian, and some of the most shocking passages were in the Old Testament when I started to read the book of Numbers. And I couldn't believe how such heavy judgments came upon Israel. Because at that time, my mind was very much worldly, and I didn't really understand much about God's values and God's judgments. But now that, you know, after how long I've been a Christian, maybe 25 years or something, I'm starting to understand the reason that God does the things He does. Especially, one example that I think last year sort of became more apparent to me personally, it was Levi. Levi was specifically set apart for God. And so when the issue of the golden calf happened, Levi, kind of as a tribe, proved themselves through Aaron to be a great source of sin within Israel. I mean, God could have just wiped out the Levites because of that. You know, these guys were supposed to be the priests. These guys were supposed to be called. And yet they actually built this golden calf, and they caused Israel to sin. God could have wiped them out, but He didn't. He actually called them to Himself, and He chose them. Remember, Levi and Simeon had been given a kind of a curse before that with Jacob's prophecy. He said that, you know, in their anger they took up the sword, they used the sword, and they're going to be scattered and divided in Israel. So there was already a curse upon Levi, and yet God called Levi to Himself, and He gave them great honor. This shows that Levi could not think of themselves too highly, because they were chosen by God's grace for this amazing ministry that God had given them. But we go to Numbers chapter 16 and see what happened a little later. Let's have a look at Numbers 16. Numbers 16, this is the Dathan and Abiram passage. Numbers 16. Once the rebellion and the judgment start becoming heavy here. let's begin in verse 1, and we'll read to verse 14. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, of the sons of Peleb, the son of Peleb, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and against them, and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Sounds a bit like Paul, right? He's saying, don't think of yourself more highly. Everyone's holy, right? And then verse 4, "So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, 'Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi.' Then Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing that to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation and to serve them? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? Are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?' And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, 'We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.'" So, remember what Paul said. Don't think of yourself too highly than you ought to think. Here Moses, under the Spirit of God, says the same thing to the Levites. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. They hadn't understood God's will for them. They were jealous. They wanted more than what God had given to him. And Paul says in Romans, each one has been given the measure of grace. Each one of us has been given a measure of grace. That means every Christian has a ministry, and it means that every Christian has a ministry only because of the grace of God, not because of whether they deserve it or not. And we can look at Levi and say, well, there's nothing to suggest they did. Not only that, the only other tribe associated with them here was Reuben, who also was kind of rebellious in those early times, and they had a curse as well. And so these are the ones who had lost their high honor, and they were seeking to get it back. Also, we notice that when they say in the beginning that God, you know, you, all of us are holy and all of this, it's only a guise for what's really behind them, because he's saying, they're accusing Moses, saying, you haven't given us the blessing of God, you haven't given us any of the promises that you gave us, as if it was Moses' fault that they had not yet reached the promised land. So what we can see behind them is, really, they're angry. They're angry that they don't have what someone else has. They don't have the same honor that they see in Moses and Aaron. They don't have the same position that they see in Moses and Aaron. And this is the danger to us as well. If we are to bring ourselves and give ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, the thing that's going to most cause that, except for trying to be like the world, the second thing that's mostly going to destroy that is we say, I want more than what God's given me. I don't want this calling. I don't want this life that God has given me. I don't want my current circumstances. I want more. I want to decide the way that I serve God. I want to decide the way that I live my life. I want to decide who I am in the kingdom of God, rather than allowing God total decision, total control over everything that happens to us. Levi had a very important ministry. Levi had ministries of looking after the temple. The priests couldn't do that. Someone had to help them pack up the tabernacle. Someone had to help them carry the poles. Someone had to help them carry the tent curtains. Someone had to help them carry the ark and all of the other heavy materials of the tabernacle. There was a lot of jobs to go around, and different people needed to do them. But what is at the bottom of this is really a complaint that I'm not getting the respect that I deserve. And Paul, at the very beginning, this is the first point that he gets to. How should we then live the Christian life after all that theology from the first half of Romans? The first thing we should understand and get it right within our heart is we are not to desire to be like the world. Do not be conformed to this world. And secondly, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. If God wanted us to be the absolute lowest thing in the kingdom of God, then that's good enough for us. If God wants my life to be difficult because he's going to use it some way for his glory, then I need to accept that, and I can't complain about it. Now, that's very easy to say. It's not easy to settle in our hearts. But it is the reality. We have to accept whatever God has given to us. Now, it's interesting. We have here Levi and we have Reuben. But when we look at Reuben again, remember Reuben and also Manasseh, they were the firstborn. Manasseh was the firstborn, and he lost his firstborn right to Ephraim. And Reuben was the firstborn, but he lost his firstborn right to Joseph. And so these were people who felt that they had lost what they deserve. And so when you look at what happens when we start to feel that we deserve more than what we've got? We see what they did. They actually demanded to get their inheritance now. They demanded before everyone else that we want to settle, we want to decide, we want to choose now. This is our land, this is what we want. I'm going to choose where I am in the kingdom. Now, for the other tribes, it was all decided by lot. God was the one who decided where each tribe would be, and of course they went out and spied it out and things like that, but ultimately it was done by lot. But Reuben and Manasseh, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to choose. And this is something that we need to really be careful with in our ministry. It's not my choice what God is calling me to. It is my choice in a sense that God doesn't force us to do anything. It's our choice to cooperate with God or not. But it isn't our choice as to how God has planned to use our life. And ultimately, we have to remember that God is the greatest engineer that ever was. He's the greatest scientist that ever was. He's the greatest sociologist that ever was. He's the greatest planner that ever was. He knows exactly what he's doing, and we have to keep reminding ourselves of these things. That's why this follows after Romans 9, 10, and 11. When we see the wonderful, amazing plan, the unexpected plan of how God had worked Israel and the nations, and unbelief and hardening and opening hearts and pouring out his blessing here and withholding it there. And when we see the ultimate effect of that is to make God's plan fulfilled, then we can say, therefore, I'm going to just give myself into his hands. If he wants me to do great things, I'll do great things. If he wants me to do small things, I'll do small things. And that's what follows, where he goes on and says, that's why we're a body. And we each minister according to the faith that God has given us to minister to with. So Reuben, Manasseh, these are people or tribes who wanted to decide what they want to do. I remember once I was at a meeting in the Philippines, And I was frustrated. I was frustrated because... actually, this is more than once. This happened quite many times, actually. But I remember one particular case where it happened. And I was frustrated because they were singing and singing and singing and singing, and it never seemed to end. And I thought, man, I've come all this way, and I've got all these things that I've been working on, and all these teachings that I want to give, and in my mind at the time, I could kind of plainly see that, you know, they needed what I have, and I could see what was going to happen. We were going to have 1 hour of singing, and then I was going to get just a very short time for the Bible study. And so in my heart, I was frustrated. And I remember thinking, you know, I wonder, what if the Apostle Paul was here? I wonder if they would let him speak for 1 hour or 2 hours, or whether they would just, you know, sing and sing and sing. And later on, when I looked back at that, I think I was doing exactly what Paul tells us not to do. I was doing exactly the thing he tells us not to do. I was looking, considering myself more highly than I ought to, because I was thinking that my contribution to the service is much more important than theirs. I mean, yeah, they can sing, they can play their guitars or whatever, but, you know, I'm teaching. I mean, they can sing the same songs every week, but I'm giving a new message. I'm giving something that they need, you know. I've come from another country. These are all the thoughts. It's really pride. Because in doing that, what I'm saying is, what I have is much more important than what someone else has. Now, this is where we have to stop. It takes real faith to say that other people's ministries, other people's gifts are equally or perhaps more important than mine. Other people are more important than me. That's what he says, in honor, outdo each other, right? Do your best to honor people more than they're honoring you. We have to see other people as more important than ourselves. We have to associate with the lowly. We have to put ourselves in the lowest place. This is the great teaching that Paul is bringing out, the very first point on which probably every other point follows in the book of Romans, and in fact in the Christian life. I'm no greater than anyone else. My ministry is no more important than anyone else's. Of course, there's another side to that. For many Christians, they see other people's ministry as more important than theirs. And we can do that too. We can say, well, you know, I'm nobody. I haven't got anything to contribute, so I'll just come to church and, you know, listen, and I won't, you know, I won't get in anyone's way. I'll just sit here and I'll just let everyone else do it because they're older or they're wiser or they're more skilled or whatever. That's also wrong, because to each of you has been given the measure of grace. To each one of the members of the body of Christ have an important ministry to do. And so this is the issue that Paul is bringing to our attention, and this is the issue that we need to put in our hearts. Don't think that you or your ministry is any greater or any more important than anyone else's. And don't think that other people's ministries are any less valuable in any way than yours. That's the first point, because as soon as we do that, what we're going to do is we'll be demanding that I become the center of attention, and as soon as I do that, I'm effectively quenching everyone else's ministry. It's quenching the spirit, stopping other people from ministering in the way that God wants them to be. We lost our birthright in the sense that we were born in sin. And we bring ourselves to God as a living sacrifice and allow God the total freedom to say what we are to be and who we are. And if that's a small part, then that's fine. If that's a big part, that's fine. And ultimately, if we understand that, if we understand that point, we will give glory to God, because we will say, it's not my intelligence, or it's not my effort, or it's not my ability that makes the difference. It's completely God's work. And God chooses to use the weak above the strong. Hi. So that'll be the first part, then we'll come back and look at some applications of this afterwards. はい、じゃあ今から英語の前半を話します。はい、そして今日は、ローマ12章を、読みます。そして箇所といえば、ローマの12章の、1から、1から16を読みます。言うと読みませんか。お願いします。
はい。では読みます。16
番
ね。
はい。
はい。
ローマ12章。はい。ごめんなさい。12の。ね、
はい。はい。12の1から16。
はい、お願いします。
そういうわけですから、兄弟たち、私は神の憐れみのゆえにあなた方にお願いします。あなた方の体を神に受け入れられる清い生きた供え物として捧げなさい。それこそあなた方の霊的な礼拝です。この世と調子は合わせてはいけません。いや、むしろ神の御心は何か、すなわち何が良いことで神に受け入れられ完全であるのかをわきまえ知るために、心の一心によって自分を変えなさい。私は自分に与えられた恵みによってあなた方一人一人に言います。誰でも思うべき限度を超えて思い上がってはいけません。いや、むしろ神が各々に分け与えてくださった信仰の計りに応じて慎み深い考え方をしなさい。一つの体には多くの器官があって、すべての器官が同じ働きはしないのと同じように、大勢いる私たちもキリストにあって一つの体であり、一人一人互いに器官なのです。私たちは与えられた恵みに従って異なった賜物を持っているので、もしそれが預言であれば、その信仰によって応じて預言しなさい。奉仕であれば奉仕し、教える人であれば教えなさい。勧めをする人であれば勧め、分け与える人は惜しまずに分け与える、指導する人は熱心に指導し、事前を行う人は喜んでそれをしなさい。私には偽りがあっては、愛には偽りがあってはなりません。悪を憎み、善に親しみなさい。兄弟愛を持って心から互いに愛し合い、尊敬を持って互いに人を自分より勝っていると思いなさい。勤勉で怠らず、霊に燃え、主に仕えなさい。望みを抱いて喜び、患難に絶えず祈りに励みなさい。生徒の受理用に協力し、旅人をもてなしなさい。あなた方を迫害する者を祝福しなさい。祝福すべきであって呪ってはいけません。喜ぶ者と一緒に喜び、泣く者と一緒に泣きなさい。互いに一つ心になり、高ぶった思いを持たず、かえって身分の低い者に順応しなさい。自分こそ知者だなどと思ってはいけません。
はい、ありがとうございます。Okay. そして先週少し話しましたけど、このローマ12章はローマ章のちょうど、まあ、半分のところです。前半では神学的な教えをしましたけど、ローマ12章からは全部適用、その事実のゆえに、じゃあ私たちはどう生きていけばいいか、どのような神学というと、まあ、まず罪と堕落をパウロは説明しました。そして結局誰も他の人より偉いわけではない。全ての人は同じほど罪深い。まあ、環境によってその罪深さはまあ、度合いがありますけど、でも結局みんなは同じぐらいに堕落しています。そして次に、全ての人は行いによって何一つ自分の状態を、良くすることもできません。月に及ぶこともできないみたいに、私たちは行いによって 天に登ることができません。それはもう基本の基本です。一番最初から神様はどの世代にもこのポイントを強く伝えました。それは生贄の意味です。私たちは何もできない。その動物は代わりに私たちの死に生贄となるということですけど、やっぱり自分のプライドで自分の、人間はみんなこういう傾向ありますけど、いや違う、私は頑張ったらできる、頑張ったら良い人になるとか、たくさんの良い行いをすれば神様の前に正しいものになるとか、悟りを得ることができると私たちは思いがちです。そうではなくて、信仰によって私たちは救われます。神様の子供になるのは生まれなければならない。新しく生まれる人は神様の子供。自分の子供たちは良いことをしたから自分の子供になったわけではないそれはもう当たり前のことです。同じように私たちは神様の子供として新しく生まれるのは神様の愛、神様の恵みによるものだけです。そしてそれは救いのことではいいですけど、じゃあクリスチャンの生活、これからの人生では結局同じことがあるとパウロが伝えます。さあ、救われるのは自分の行いではなくて神様の恵みとは分かるけど、でも毎日これからの人生は結局同じ原則があります。そしてここでは他の人より自分を偉く考えてはならないとパウロは命じています。最初はこの12章1節では私たちは自分を生贄として神様に捧げなければならない、生きた生贄のことです。毎日神様のために生きることは私たちはもう決心すべきです。もう一回言いますと、そういうわけですから兄弟たち、私は神様の憐れみのゆえにあなた方にお願いします。あなた方の体を神に受け入れられる清い生きた素ないものとして捧げなさい。それこそあなた方の霊的な礼拝ですと書いてます。じゃあ生贄は死ぬものです。ですから生贄はもう決められている、なくなるものです。私たちは何を捧げるでしょう。じゃあ今までの人生を捧げる神様はそれはいりませんその罪深いものは何の益があるでしょう。そうじゃなくて、新しい神様に与えられている命こそ神様は捧げてほしいと思っています。というのは生きた生贄というのは毎日の命によって、毎日の生活によって、私はその全てをコントロールすることではなくて、神様に任せて神様に全てを譲ります。じゃあ私はもうすごいものになるか、本当にみんなを使えるものになるか、それは神様は決めることができます。で、自分がそれに対して無理やりコントロールしてはなりません。よく考えても、どの社会でもそうでなければうまくいかない、ね、本当に弁護士がいる必要もあるし、ガードマンもいる必要もあります。店の営業する人も裏で届けるものを受け入れている、その手続きをする必要の人もいます。レジのお姉ちゃんもいるし、重いものを運んでいる従業員もいる、もういろんな人たちがいる。それは当たり前のことですけど、でも人生では同じ。結局私たちは全部勝手に自分がそれより偉いと思ったら、じゃあ 神様の国も成り立てない。3節で、私は自分に与えられた恵みによって、パウロは神様の啓示を豊かに受けましたので、その、知恵を今分け与えています。その知恵は、教えは、あなた方一人一人に言います。誰でも思うべき言動を超えて思い上がってはいけません。いや、むしろ神がおのおのに分け与えてくださった信仰の計りに応じて慎み深い考えをしなさい。もし私たちは神様のために生きた生贄として捧げるなら、それを防ぐものは何でしょう。自分が思うべき言動を超えて思い上がることです。例えば、いや、その仕事は私は絶対やらない。そのような立場はダメです。私はもうそのよりその仕事をするのにより上品なものですからとか、絶対にそんな、なんか日本では3つの刑があるでしょ。この間の話で話してたけど、絶対にやってはならない仕事、ね、なんですよ。汚い、きつい、と、なんだった、もう一個は何だったっけ。いやいや、汚い仕事、忘れた。汚い、きついと、なんだった、忘れた。でも、3つあると言われています。でも、そうです、そうでしょうか。汚い仕事をやらなければ誰がするでしょう。ね、神様の愛を、示すのは私たちの仕事です。それだけ。どうやってそれを示すかは神様に任せるはずです。それはもう自分で勝手に決めるわけではありません。この時代、この世代は特にね、大体の人は自分の人生を何でもかんでも決める時代になりましたけど、昔はそうではなかったでしょう。大工の子供として生まれたら大工になる、それは決まっていた。ウイゴとして生まれたら親の世話しなければならない、それは当たり、もう決まっているもの。この時代では割と私たちはあり得る自由がありますけど、でも神様の御国では、神様、聖霊がそれぞれの人に導く、そして体なんです。あらゆる器官があります。手がある、腕がある、足がある、お尻がある。いろいろな部分があります。ある部分は汚い、ある部分はもうカバーしなくてもいい、ある部分はカバーする、恥ずかしい、ある部分は綺麗、ある部分は強い、ある部分は弱い。それはもう体はそんなもん。神様は体をうまく想像しました。あるところは敏感、もうちょっと座っても我慢できない。他のところはいくら叩いても感じないぐらい。だからいろんな人がいる。神様はそれぞれの人に自分の思いのままで導きます。でもそれは良いけど、もし私たちは絶対自分で全てを決めると思ったらとか、あんな仕事を絶対やらないという、仕事って言ったら本当に仕事の仕事じゃなくて、生き方、立場のこと、奉仕のこととか、人生の本当の意味、仕事は含まれてますけど、それだけではなくて私たちの地位のことを考えてますけど、もし低くしなければ神様の素晴らしい創造は成り立てることはない。はい、一つの例があります。よく 聖書に書かれてますけど、あの民数記、あのモーセの第4の章、創世記、出エジプト、レビと、あの民数記がありますけど、その民数記の16章に、その荒野にいる時の、まあ犯行が記されています。
あ、はい、
じゃあ16章の1から14節を読みます。そしてその読む前に、まあ、読みながら考えてほしいことありますけど、レビ族、イスラエルの12部族で、レビというものは神様の祭司たち、神様のしもべたちとして分けて、神様は彼らを分けて用いると最初から決めましたので、彼らは、まあ、特別な立場がありました。しかし、まあ、はい、お願いします。じゃあ
16の、
1から14まで。
レビの子、ケハデの子である、イツハルの子、コラはルベンの子孫であるエリアブの子、ダタンと、アビラムおよびペレテの子、恩と共謀して回収の上に立つ人たちで、会合で選び出された名のある人、者たち250人のイスラエル人と共にモーセに立ち向かった。彼らは集まってモーセとアロンとに逆らい、彼らに言った。あなた方は分を超えている。全回収残らず聖なるものであって、主がそのうちにおられるのに、なぜあなた方は主の集会の上に立つのか。モーセはこれを聞いてひれ伏した。それからコラとそのすべての仲間とへ告げていった。明日の朝、主は、誰がご自分のものか、誰が聖なるものかをお示しになり、そのものをご自分に近づけられる。主はご自分が選ぶものをご自分に近づけるからだ。こうしなさい、コラとその仲間のすべてを。あなた方は火皿を取り、明日主の前でその中に火を入れ、その上に香を盛りなさい。主がお選びになるその人が聖なるものである。レビのコラよ、あなた方が分を超えているのだ。モーセはさらにコラに言った。レビの形をよく聞きなさい。イスラエルの神があなた方をイスラエルの回収から分けて、主の幕屋の奉仕をするために、また回収の前に立って彼らに仕えるために身元に近づけてくださったのだ。あなた方はこれに不足があるのか。こうしてあなたと、あなたの同族であるレビ族全部をあなたと一緒に近づけてくださったのだ。それなのにあなた方は祭司の職まで要求するのか。それだからあなたとあなたの仲間のすべては一つになって主に逆らっているのだ。アロンが、なんだからと言って彼に対して不正を言うのか。モーセは使いをやってエリアブの子ダタンとアビラムと呼び寄せようとしたが、彼らは言った。私たちは行かない。あなた方が私たちを血と水の流れる血から登らせて荒野で私たちを死なせようとし、その上あなたは私たちを支配しようとして君臨している。それでも不足があるのか。しかもあなたは血と蜜を流れる地に私たちを連れても行かず、畑とブドウ畑を受け継ぐべき財産として私たちに与えてもいない。あなたはこの人たちの 目をくらまそうとするのか。私たちは行かない。
うん。Okay。 まあここでイスラエルのこのレビ人と、まあ、もう一つ出てきたのはルベン族の、 2つの部族が出てきますけど、彼らはモーセに、まあ、明らかに使徒を感じていた。そしてモーセは預言者、モーセは人たちに教えている、モーセはその今でも有名な学者ですけど、彼らはみんな同じほど偉いじゃないかというふうに歌えていた。モーセはお前はもう自分のことを偉そうに考えている、みんなは聖なるもの、みんなは神の子らというふうに彼らは歌えていたけど、 そう考えたら、まあ、パウロはそのようなことを言ってたですけど、ちょっと後で本音が出てくる。それはもう あなたは私たちにその約束の、父と御子に流れている血を与えてなかった、受け継ぐべきの財産とかブドウ畑とかそういう約束を何も与えてこなかったから、彼らは神様のタイミングに、神様の計画に不満をつぶやいていたということになります。でもなんででしょう、後で彼らは裁かれましたけど、でも考えてみてください。レビは特別な立場がありました。彼らは神様に近づくことができて、神様の知恵を受け入れて祭司として他の部族に教える立場がありました。彼らはその礼拝できる、その神様の臨在がとどまっているその天幕に行くことができる、そして預かることができた。移動するときにそれを片付けて運ぶ、まあ、神様の特別なと特別な関係を持つことができた部族。ある意味で彼らはものすごく祝福されたけど、彼らはその特別な奉仕を全く認めなかった。彼らは何が欲しかったかというと尊敬、自分の人に見られて誉れる予言の、奉仕が欲しがった。そして神様はその場で彼らを裁きました。ルーベンは最初に生まれた兄弟、しかし最初に生まれたけど彼は他の、兄弟たちを支配しようとして、まあ乱れな行動をしました。彼のお父さんのそばめと練った。そしてもうそういうことによって他の兄弟よりお父さんの立場にいるから自分を支配者にするようにします。した。そして神様はそれを裁きました。で結局そのウイゴの権威はヨセフに与えられました。このマナシもマナシとエフライムがヨセフの子供たちけど、最初に生まれたマナシじゃなくてエフライムはまあ遺言の権威が与えられたから、このマナシはそれを失ってしまった。そしてルベンとマナシはその約束の地に入ろうとした時に、彼らはその前にこの地方が欲しい、この地方で私たちは住む、このイスラエル、本当のイスラエル、ヨルダン川より西、神様が最初から約束した地域はくじで分けられました。それはまあ神様に任せて、神様はどのところを誰に与えるかはくじで決めなさいと言いました。それでまあ結局神様に委ねますけど、彼らはいやそうじゃなくて私たちは決めます、自分のところを勝手に決めます、ここだと言いました。結局神様はそれを認めたけど、後でアシリア帝国出てきた時に、アシリアはここです一番最初に攻められて征服された地方はどこでしょうもちろんここでした。これは一番危ないところでしたから、結局自分で自分の安全を勝手に取ろうとした人たちはその安全を失ってしまいました。彼らは神様に任せることはできなかった、自分が大事、自分が重要、他の人よりもということ。特にこの時代に私たちはその影響を受けないように心がけなければならない。ある時に僕はアルバイトをしていた、泊まり会場をしていた。そして泊まり会場で誰かのお尻を拭いた時に、その人は脳性麻痺ある人ですから、着替えと炊事とか片付けとか、一番嫌がっていたのはその人がタバコを吸う時に そのタバコを入れたりしました。それはものすごく嫌かったけど、一応言われる通りにしなければならないということになりましたので、まあそうしました。ですけど、あのお尻を拭いた時に、ある日に、なんでここにいる、なんでこんな仕事をしている、私はもう大学で理科を勉強したなのにこんなこと。だからそういう考えは私たちでも、あの気をつけなければ、気をつけなければ、あの自分の今の状態より、あの偉く思い込む傾向があります。実は反対のことで、イエス様は天宇宙の中で一番優れているもの、神様が人間になって人のために、人を使えるために来た。あのイエス様は恥を兵器にかけられました。彼はあの罪深い人たちの仲間となった。彼はあの私たちの罪のために、無罪なのに有罪として、その恥ずかしめをあの受け入れた。あの私たちはその方の愛を示すために、あの導かれている。からなんで一番低い立場を自分から選ばないでしょうかそれは神様の愛を知らないから。うん、今この人生の目的は神様の愛を悟ることです。私たちは聖霊によってその愛をあの求めて満たされて、そして実際に示すようにあの導かれています。まあ難しいですけど、そういうふうに導かれている。だから私たちは自分の体を生贄として、神様の生きた生贄としてもう捧げるあのことに導かれています。そうじゃなければ、あのもう本当に意味があの失ってしまった。まあ考えてみてください。学校がある、そして生徒、例えば小学校であの生徒たちに重要なレッスンを教えようとしているけど、あのそのレッスンをやるときに、例えばもう分けて、この部分、この人数があのこういうことをしながら、こういうグループはこれをする、である子どもはとか、あの他の子どもは何をやっているか、ずるいずるいと、あの同じことをしなければならないと思ったら、じゃあそのレッスンを全く学ばないわけです。うん、まあ例えば理科で実験するときに、まあ、分けてグループに分ける。もう私たちは他の人がやっていることとか、そのずるいずるいという考えがある限り、その授業のポイントは完全に見失います。同じように自分が他の人の立場を比べてしまって、そしてずるいずるいと思ったら、そして人生の命の意味をあの失ってしまいます。結局あの全て神様に任せるように導かれています。はい、じゃ あの後半に進みます。 OK, so let's continue then in English. So in the first section we just look briefly at、the fact that we're called to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and the thing that will stop that is if we try to be like the worldAnd if we think of ourselves as greater than we really are. Remember that we are here to represent Jesus. Jesus is the greatest who's ever existed. And he became the least. He became a servant in order that we might receive life. And so we are called to represent him. We are called to represent him. How do we represent him? By doing the same. By giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. But if we think of ourselves as too great for this and too great for that, I'm too great to do this job, I'm too great to do that job, then we'll never be able to do it. We need to choose the lowest place. Easier said than done, but we have this life to practice. God is leading us day by day along that way, that we learn how to put ourselves low. As John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease.Now, let's go and look at the second part of the verse that Paul talked about here. He said in beginning of verse 4, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members don't have the same function." Romans chapter 12, verse 4. 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, so this is important. We are a body, and a body has many members. You can't have a society if nobody wants to do the dirty jobs. You can't have a society operate if some people don't choose the lowest place. But not only that, even among the people who are the same, there's always going to be a difference. There's always going to be a difference. Even if you look at your right hand and your left hand, if you take your right hand and your left hand, they're very similar, but they're not the same, right? One hand, they all have the same design, they all have the same kind of shape, they all have the same kind of system going on inside them, and yet in some ways they're fundamentally opposite. And the fact that they're fundamentally opposite means they can cooperate, they can work together, they can hold on to each other. If they weren't fundamentally opposite, they wouldn't be able to hold on to each other like that. The reason that we can hold hands is because there's a difference between one hand and the other. Another thing is with our hands is this, that if one, as you put your hands together, you'll notice that one goes above and one goes below. One has to submit to the other one. One has to be lower than the other in order for them to hold on to each other. If they're both trying to fight about who's going to be on top, they'll never be able to join. Right? A right hand has more strength, and yet a left hand has a ring or a watch. Right? There are certain honors for one, there are certain honors for the other. And so it is. Here, it's not only who's going to be a prophet, who's going to be a teacher, who's going to be a minister. It's also you're going to minister according to the proportion of your faith. Some people, like Moses, for example, will be great prophets. They'll be able to see God's face. They'll be able to have amazing revelation. Other people might just see some small thing. Again, that is how God has chosen it to be. It's God who's chosen it to be like that, right? It's like our skin. Some parts of our skin are thick and tough. Other parts of our skin are very weak, right? Some parts of our body are designed that they can take a strong load. Others will break very quickly, right? Your eyes are very weak, right? Very weak. Your feet, the bottom of your feet, very tough. Some parts are very sensitive, and other parts are very thick, right? That's why you can get ticklish, and other parts you can touch it and it doesn't make any difference. God has chosen not only the different parts of our body, but He's also chosen the extent that we'll be able to do things. Now, of course, in His will, He wants us to grow in our faith, and Jesus continually taught that. He wanted the disciples to grow in their faith. But that is a process. And so, if we look around and we compare ourselves with other people, then we're going to miss the point. The point of the body of Christ, the point of us in God's kingdom, is not ever to compare ourselves with other people and say, I should be better than them, or I should be worse than them, or what are they doing and what am I doing? That is going to absolutely destroy our ministry, because we won't do what God is calling us to do. We'll be worried about what other people are doing. There are some people who preach very long messages. There are some people who preach short messages. There are some people who can really explain difficult things. There are other people who don't even bother. And yet, God has a purpose for each one. There are some people who can explain in brilliant words, like Charles Spurgeon, you know, just listening, anyone who listens to it, even if they weren't a Christian, they can still appreciate the beauty of his speech. Other Christians, you know, who share the gospel, they stumble, they mumble, they, you know, they can't think of the right words to say. Why is that? It doesn't matter, because it's God in us. And God uses the weak things, and God uses strong things. He uses all things. But in the body, he has chosen to give some a great measure of faith and to give others a small one. Again, we think of the ostrich. God points out the ostrich in the book of Job, and he shows that it's been denied wisdom. It's a foolish bird. It doesn't look after its children. It buries its head in the sand. God created it that way in order to teach something. God gives us different kinds of horses. You know, there are different. There's a mule, which is stubborn. There's a horse, which loves war. There's all kinds of different animals that God's created. And he's created each one for a different purpose. So it is with us. He's given us all a different ministry, but he's also given us a different ability to do that. If we try to copy someone else, or if we try to be what we're not, we're going to fail. When I was 19, I was asked to preach, and it was a tremendously stressful thing as a 19-year-old to get up and have to teach at a church to people who've been Christians for 10 or 15 years and you've only just come to faith. If I had known now what I know, I wouldn't have worried about it. I would have thought, oh, I'm only 19, they won't expect much. But of course at the time, you know, that was a terrible burden. And I look back and I think it was probably a mistake to ask me even to get up and teach at that age. I might have been able to share a little devotion or something, but to actually ask me to teach something was probably far beyond my ability. And I remember when I went to the Philippines, the first time I had that experience, that someone asked me to share at a prayer meeting. And I spent 2 days worrying about it because I had absolutely nothing to talk about. Because, in all honesty, I hadn't developed much of a prayer life and I didn't really understand anything about prayer. And so asking me to teach something like that, I would have been better talking about something that I understood rather than desperately trying to find something to talk about that I really didn't understand. The point is that we should be what we are and teach or preach or talk or whatever it is God's calling us to do according to the proportion of our faith. Don't try to imagine that you're more faithful than you are, that you have more gifting than you do. I remember in those days, I would have been better off, probably, if I had have taken, for example, a creation issue, just explaining one aspect of creation, why God shows his design through nature. That's the sort of thing I really understood in those days, because that was what I studied. That's how I became a Christian in the beginning. But I was in the Philippines, and I thought, well, that's useless here. No one's interested in that here. They don't need that here. They need this teaching and that teaching. And the other pastors, they're always teaching about prophecy and this and that. And so I was desperately trying to think of some deep thing to talk about. And I probably made a total mess of it. I can't remember even what I talked about anymore. But the point of it is, if you try to copy other people, or if you try to be what you're not going to achieve anything. Actually, what God uses is simply he uses best what he has for us in our life at this point. Right? There are many wheels in a car, but if you put the tire of the car instead of the steering wheel, it's going to be totally out of place. If God has given you a little faith, then minister with a little faith. If God's given you a lot of faith, then minister with a lot of faith. If God's given you the grace to do great things, do great things. If God's given you the grace to do something small, then do something small. And don't try to be someone else. And don't try to copy someone else. And don't think that you're any less valuable because you're not doing what someone else is doing. You're not. It's God's body. He designed it. He made some parts strong, some parts weak. We have many toes, but they're all different sizes for a good purpose, because each one of them has a particular purpose in the body. So this is basically the point. If we don't get this right, we will judge other people for not being like us, or we'll judge ourselves for not being like other people. We'll be frustrated with other people who don't do what we do, and we'll be upset at ourselves for not being able to do what other people can do. We'll put ourselves above others and say, I shouldn't have to do that. We'll get everything wrong if we don't get this right. The basic point is, don't try to be like the world, that's clear. But the second one, which is probably harder, is don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. The way that God has brought you up until this point is the way you are. Minister according to the ability that He's given to you. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is gifted. God wants to develop every Christian's gifting. But He will do it according to His own will in His own time. Our job is to find out what is that good and pleasing and acceptable will of God. OK. はい。じゃあ、後半です。最初は、この、生贄として私たちは自分の命を捧げるべきということでした。そして、それを防ぐことは、まあ、この世を真似しようとすること。それは絶対、私たちの信仰を滅ぼす。この世は聖書の中でイオンです。イオンの意味はこの世、この宇宙、この制度。ローマ12章2節に書かれている。ご存知、あ、ごめんなさい、コリント。ローマ12章2節、この世、that is, このイオンと調子を合わせてはいけません。いや、むしろ神の、心は何か、すなわち何が良いことで神に受け入れられ完全であるのかをわきまえ知るために心を一心によって自分を変えなさいと書かれています。このように合わせてはなりません。この世と の調子を合わせてはいけません。まあこの世のと同じような流れで行ってしまうと全く神様を見ることができない。そして悟ることができない。この世は成功を目指している。この世は力を目指している。この世は祝福を目指しているけど、神様は逆に人を愛するために来ました。神様は人を助けるために来ました。そして神様はイエス様はその見本を自分で表してから教会を立て上げました。そして教会の中であらゆる機関を置かれました。ある機関はよく見られる、ある機関は見られない。あるところは強い、あるところは弱いですけど、神様は御心の通りにあらゆる部分をちょうどいいところに置きました。のでこの世に見習わそうと思ったら絶対に神様の御心をもたらすことはできません。でも次に自分を偉く考えたら絶対に低い立場とか低い仕事を選ぶわけではないので、それもダメです。私たちは本当に自分をしもべとして考えるべき。しもべは良いことに導かれるかもしれない。ヨセフはしもべとして全エジプト、その当時の一番力強い国の支配者として使えました。だけど彼はしもべです。今でもその政府 の, 議員をミニスターという例えば正義長かな、英語ではミニスターと言います。彼らはしもべだから、もうトランプはミニスター、総理大臣はプライムミニスター 一番上のミニスターだけど、ミニスターはミニスター、ミニスターはしもべという意味です。ので私たちは偉いことでもちっちゃいことでもどっちでもしもべです。しもべは指示に従います。そしてしもべはどんなことに導かれてもその通りに、やるしかない。神様は良い主人ですけど、神様はその決める権威があります。しかしここでローマ12章の、4節からのことで、一つの体に多くの器官があって、すべての器官が同じ働きをしないのと同じように、大勢いる私たちもキリストにあって一つの体であり、一人一人互いに器官なのです。私たちは与えられた恵みに従って異なった賜物を持っているので、もしそれが預言であれば、その信仰に応じて預言しなさい。モーセみたいにすごいたくさんの知恵が与えられた他の人は、たまに神様から知恵を与えられる、それを分かち与えることもできますけど、信仰によってその神様の恵みによってそれができます。とにかく2つ3つのことがあります。まず、すべてのクリスチャンは器官です。すべてのクリスチャンは役割があります。すべての人間は神様に導かれていますけど、その器官は体につけなければ、 つないでいなければ動けないもう切ってしまったら脳に従わないみたいに、私たちは神様の体につながっていなければ、神様の、導きを聞くこともももうできません。神様の聖霊は頭から体を通して動くものです。だからといって手が他のものを支配するわけではない。頭が支配するもの、頭は神経によってもう直接この指は今このように動けっています。腕は足に命じません頭、脳が全てを支配します。だから神様は私たち個人的に導きますけど、体につないでいる状態で行動します。次に全ての人はギフトがあります。ある賜物はもう本当に超自然的な賜物、予言、知恵の言葉、知識の言葉とか威厳と威厳の解き明かし、クリスチャンはたまにそういう奇跡を見ます。私も人生で何回もそういう奇跡を見たことありますね。いつも見るときにすごいな、神様すごいな、ある人は全然本当はそんなことを知ることができなかったのに知っていた、そしてそれによってすごい恵みが誰かに与えられました。神様はすごい。再来週アメリカからグラントが来ますけど、彼のお父さんもめちゃくちゃ恵まれた、そういう奇跡によって。でその教会の中ではすごい評判がありましたその教会では何も隠すことできません牧師は全部してる私たちはその自分の家で考えていることでも神様は彼に知らせている、そういう評判がありました。でもそれはもう本当にそのものの賜物、すべての人はそうではない。で私たちはもうみんな何かの賜物が あるわけですので、それは神様に従うために、使えるために与えられています。それは一つ、みんな何かがあるということ、すべてのクリスチャンは奉仕者です。次にみんなは同じわけではない。みんな同じだったらもう体ではない当たり前のことですけど、 あの足が人を動かす、あの目がものを見る、もうそれ全然違うから、クリスチャンもそうです。ある人はあの例えばその聖書の文字とかをよく分かっている、ある人は全然分からない、あるクリスチャンは人に同情できる、あのある人は何を言ったらいいか何も分からない、困る。あるクリスチャンは祈りはあの素晴らしい、あるクリスチャンは人の前で祈ることはできない、もういろいろありますけど、みんな違うものです。でそれが理解しなければならない。もしあの体が全部目だったらもう行動できない。でも逆にあのもしあの体が全部手だったら、じゃあ見ることができない。だから他のクリスチャンは自分が分かっていることを当たり前に分かっているわけではない。そして自分 あのできることは他の人はできないかもしれない。それは大丈夫です。他の人は自分ができることは自分ができなかったら大丈夫です。まあ、特にまあ、本当のペンテコスタの教会に行ったらそれは本当にそうです。あの例えば予言する人、あの私は教会に初めて行ったら毎週ほぼ毎週その牧師は予言しました。でその予言はもう人の人生のことをよく分かった。で神様はその前の日になんか夢とかをたまに与えられて、それを語った時にあの人がもう誰かが、あそれはちょうど私の問題を解決したとか、あのそれはよくある人もありますけど、でも他のクリスチャンは全然そんなことない。大丈夫、もう神様はありゆる人をありゆるふうに用いるわけです。あるここである人は物を与える、あのどこ書かれているでしょうか、あのまあ、お金を与える人にはあのと書いてますけど、あの分け与える人は惜しまずに分け与えから、まあ、例えばお金がいっぱいある人はじゃ あのそれをあの惜しまずにあの与えるということ。他のクリスチャンは何もできない、もう自分も困っているし、まあ大丈夫です、それは OK。 あの神様はそれぞれの人をあの様々な方法で導くから。右の手と左の手見てください、同じ、ほとんど同じでしょ、うん、中の骨は一緒、あの関節は一緒、あのだいたい動きが同じ、力もほぼ同じかもしれないけど、でも似ているけど、なんかその中の趣味も似てるかな、ちょっと似てないな、同じじゃない、でもある意味ではまあ反対反対でしょ、じゃなかったらこうなる。あの手をよく持つことができるのは2つのことがあります。まずはまあ反対のこともあります。そしてあの1つは上に行って、一つはあの服従する、あのそれによってもう結合できる。あのでももし常に誰が上と争ったらもうつなぐことができない。できるのはもうこう、彼がしたらおかしいでしょ、やってみちょっと違うなと思うね。こうはまあ普通、こうはあちょっとダメですね。何が違う？もう慣れてないというのもあると思いますけど、でももう右手の人と左手の人もいるでしょ。なんででしょう？不思議。けど神様は私たちをそのように創造したのはこういうことを教えるため。同じ奉仕をやる人でもある人は上、ある人は下。それはその通りです。それは OK。あの例えば教会の中で、あのまあ、例えば伝道とか教えるとか歌う人とか、みんな同じぐらい歌ったら、じゃあもう例えば200人の教会でじゃ あの誰が歌うでしょう4年間1回歌える機会が与えられる じゃあもうそんなことないでしょ。もううまくできる人はそれをやればいいというあのことです。はい。だから自分が他の人ほどうまくできなくても OK。他の人がより深く理解できなくても OK。逆もそうです。他の人は自分ほどあのもう基準が高くなくても OK。あの私たちはみんなあの違うから、でも神様の御心によってそのようになっています。はい、まず他の人と比べてはなりません。そして他の人を真似してはなりません。そうする人は絶対に神様の御心を悟れないし、あの満たすことはできません。絶対に。はい。そしてあのパウルが言っているのはあのまずもう一回一節を読みます。そういうわけですから兄弟たち、あの私は神様の、 あの憐れみのゆえにあなた方にお願いします。あなた方の体を神に受け入れられる清い生きた供え物として捧げなさい。それこそあなた方の霊的な礼拝です。そしてそれを防ぐことはこの世のと調子を合わせようとすること。でもう一個はあの三節で自分を自分を思うべきあの言動を超えてあの思い上がること。自分が偉いと自分がそれをするのにふさわしくないとかを思うと、もう絶対に神様の御心を行うことができません。結局あの神様は全てをうまく合わせることができるので、私たちはその自分の導き、自分の召しを悟ってその通りにやれば一番いいでしょう。はい、じゃあ祈ります。神様ありがとうございます。あなたは、どのエンジニアより、どの設計士より、あのちょうどいい設計を作ることができます。そしてこの体をあのうまく作り上げています。どうか神様、私たちの各々の、 あの立場に導いてください。高くても低くてもあの教えてください。そして絶対にあの他の人と比べないように助けてください。そしてあの本当に神様にあって私たちは恵まれていますので、人に褒められなくても、人に見られなくても神様の目の前に愛されていることを感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。 OK、 ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございました。